Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So, I actually have Reels for Real podcast. I have Kevin with me. We're going to be rocking out with some surf ninjas. We actually did the Fugitive review a couple of months back. We had a good time. I said, hey, look, we're going to do surf ninjas. I was like, well, what the hell is surf ninjas? Why are they on surfboards? I don't know, but it was a fun time when I was a kid. Does this movie hold up? We do not know. You guys are going to be the ones who judge it based on our review. So let's go ahead. Without further ado, let's go ahead. Let's do this. And hey, man, how's it going?
What's up, man? How you doing, bro?
It's going really good, dude. Hey, you're welcome anytime. Like I said, we had a good time doing The Fugitive and all that stuff. And, you know, what better way to do this now with just like a comedy, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. Classic 90s gold right here, huh?
Oh, yeah. It definitely doesn't hold up.
Uh-oh, somebody said, be kind, I'm watching you. Oh, boy.
Better behave now.
And I don't know.
But yeah, man, like, okay, I remember as a kid, right, going to the theater, my mom took me to go see this movie. And me and my buddies of mine, he just got done seeing The Fugitive. So he went right back into the theater with me, and we went to see Surf Ninjas. And so it happens to be, there was actually a double feature for this movie. It was Surf Ninjas, then after that, it was Jason Goes to Hell, the final Friday the 13th. Oh, I'm like, man. Okay, that is not. Now I'm looking back at my childhood. Those two movies should not be a double feature. For
That's wild, dude. A PG movie and a rated R double feature. That's wild. Complete opposite movies. Dang.
Definitely.
Well, I have to ask you now, since you've seen Jason Goes to Hell as an adult, have you seen it as an adult now that you're older?
I need to go back and revisit that, to be honest.
Okay, because I've rewatched the entire Friday the 13th series.
I remember when you did that.
Yeah, dude. Jason Goes to Hell is rough.
Like, I don't even remember that much about it. I just remember the very beginning of it, where basically Jason fucking explodes, and that's it. I don't remember anything else. Yeah, dude, like, at the very beginning.
This thing that's taking over people, and it's, yeah, dude, it's crazy. Yeah.
But you know what else is crazy? Ninjas on surfboards. This movie, to be honest with you, but my friend Josh even asked me, why are they on surfboards? I do not know why they're on surfboards. But I thought it was cool. I thought it was a cool concept. We had three ninjas at that time that came out. We also had a couple of other ninja flicks that came out for kids and stuff like that. So I figured, hey, this looks good. And of course, you also have one of the actors that played in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Secret of the Ooze, that's in this as well.
Man. Dude, that's where my nostalgia leans, is on Secret of the Ooze. 100%. That bad boy. That's the Ernie Reyes Jr. movie where I'm like, yes. That's the one for me, you know? I don't have much nostalgia with this one. I caught this one a little bit later, like maybe like middle school. And I remember at the time, I was just like, you know, whatever, you know? Like, it was fun, you know? But yeah, rewatching it, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, it was definitely rough. And I'm going to be honest with you, man. I thought that, like, the very beginning of this movie, when it opens up, I thought that we were going to get a background story of who these kids are, because remember, it opens up to this one guy with an eye patch. You don't know why he's there at the beach, but he's there and he's protecting the kids at the school. And I'm thinking, and I always thought in my mind that there was the backstory first and then it went into the surfing. I'm like, this is very badly placed and very bad editing when you look at it in context.
Oh yeah. I mean, it just gets going, you know? Just here we are.
Exactly. And then also, too, like, you see them, and then you also have this other scene that gets played out in the very beginning, too, where basically there's supposed to be a home intruder that's supposed to be coming in. It's actually Monday morning. It's during the week. and you're not sure why someone would be breaking in and having a knife, and then there's this dramatic feel to it, like a Michael Myers kind of feel, like you think that it's going to be like a slasher movie where something's going to be happening. And I'm like, wait, what's going on here? There's nothing that told us that there was, that we were supposed to be invested, that something was going to happen, because we don't know nothing about these characters.
Right.
Or anything. So I was like, well, why should we care about a random killing at the very beginning of this movie? And then all of a sudden it's just Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider, man. He has some interesting moments in here. It's funny when you're talking about the beginning, though, when a dad in the beginning, he says, no Van Halen until I have my coffee. And I'm thinking, dude, that music is stronger than coffee, dude. That music is cocaine. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're
especially the song that'll Jump. Wake you come up. On.
Yeah, that's going to wake you up. That's all your coffee right there.
Exactly. That's all you need. Some Van Halen, have some Jump on there, and you're good to go. You know, you don't need no coffee, dude. Seriously.
Heck no.
But yeah, Iggy, which is played by Rob Schneider, is over there cooking up some breakfast. And he's like, because are you wearing my boxers? He goes, these are yours? He goes, yeah, those are mine. But I do have to say, the comedy for Rob Schneider works in a sense. But
you thought
the
rest so?
I thought it landed a little bit here and there in spots.
Yeah.
It definitely doesn't age well. And we'll get into the part where Johnny has the same Bob Oberan and stuff like that, too. Like, yeah. I just, yeah.
That was corny. That was corny, but
as a kid, I'm like, I'm eating that up though. As a kid, like,
okay, well, okay. All right. So, which one is better? That one, the Bob Bob Aran, or Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go? Which one are you going with? Vanilla Ice, Go Ninja.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna go with which one's the cringiest. I'm gonna have to go with Bob Bob Aran over Ice. That one over Go Ninja, Go. At least Go Ninja, Go. You're actually feeling, and you still feel energized when you hear that song. Bob Bob Aran, I can listen to that with the Beach Boys and that would be it.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
exactly. Oh man, dude,
but what's your initial thoughts though whenever you look at the movie though?
I was thinking that the best thing about this movie is going to be Ernie Reyes Jr. and Ernie Reyes Sr. being in a movie together. I think that was like a really dope concept. I just don't understand how like their dynamic is funnier than Leslie Nielsen, like the comedy king at the time, like Naked Gun. I was like, because Leslie Nielsen playing the most non-funny character he's ever been in to me is wild.
They kind of just dubbed him down a lot in this one.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, I don't know. Like, this whole him being a villain just did not work for me.
I think it would have worked if they gave him more to play with. The whole answer machine bit of, if you hang up the phone, I'm going to kill you. And then you have someone, then someone calls him and he goes, oh yeah, where was I? Oh yeah, kill them all. I'm like, okay, that is, you're not even trying. It's like, you just woke up out of bed and you only had one line and then you went back to sleep.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's just, he just woke up, delivered his lines. That's it, dude. I'm like, come on, Leslie Nielsen didn't care about this. And it shows, like, but I have a problem with, like, the overall just, like, script. And I know you mentioned, like, Rob Schneider, like, he was, like, the best moments probably as far as comedy. But I felt like he was, like, freestyling his lines kind of at certain points. Like, and we could talk about that, but there were just moments where I'm just like, dude, come on. Like. But his story was like, it's kind of funny, like him pretending to be a good surfer when he's like not a good surfer at all.
No.
That I thought that was okay.
Like, really, how old? Some wax on my surfboard.
but how old was he? Was he when he was in this movie? I'm like, dude, you old as hell. Like, he's like in his 30s playing a high schooler. Like, not that that hasn't been done before in Hollywood, but like, come on, dude. Like, y'all know he's too old to be in that.
Exactly, especially whenever he has like red hair. It's like, look, man, I have gray hair. It's okay. It's all good. We're just gonna give you some red hair and everything, and we're gonna dye your eyelashes too to match that. You look like that. You actually do have red hair. Okay, exactly. Rob.
Come on. Nobody was falling for that, man. I mean, I'm sure everybody in '93 was good with it, but like, I guess looking back on it now, retrospectively, we're like, come on, dude. Like, that doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. Because they look like he's like twice the age of these kids.
Oh, dude, straight up. Like, he's trying to play clearly. He's the old head in the movie, dude. He is the old head. How did you feel about Ernie Reyes Sr. though? Like, what did you like his character? Like, I know.
Yeah, I love Johnny.
Like,
Johnny was actually one of my characters that I wanted to be as a kid. Yeah. Like, we would always like try to reenact surf ninjas and stuff like that at my house and everything, just play around. So of course I wanted to be Johnny because I wanted to have that crazy kick that he had and stuff like that. So that's basically what I was after. Let's see here. Nick says, to be fair, he was 28 playing a 19-year-old.
Oh, okay. Okay. Ernie looked young though. He looks young. It works, you know, like it works like for shows and stuff like that. It happens all the time whenever we watch like 90210, stuff like that. Everybody's older, but right, so he was 28. Okay. I was close. Yeah. I said 30s, early 30s, but yeah, he's 28. All right.
Close enough. But you know what though? I do have to admit, you know, Johnny is probably one of my favorite characters in this one though, too, because of the fact that I like how he's trying to be like a stronger role model for his brother Adam. And he goes, you know, man, just sell it. Just sell it like you know it. That's how you fool these teachers. Yeah. What did you tell them what country it was? I said, it could be anywhere. Exactly. And then all of a sudden, you're supposed to be invested in this whole entire bit where as soon as they arrive after the... Now, what did you think of the whole entire surf thing with them on the Jeep and everything doing the... you know what I'm talking about.
When they're riding in a Jeep? Wait, say it a little bit more. What was going on?
With the surf... basically doing the surf thing, basically, where they're that was basically them trying to be like their Teen Wolf in a sense, instead of Scott being on top of the van.
That's a good pick. Yeah. No, thanks for pointing that out, dude. That's I definitely see that now that you said it. I was looking at it. I was like, okay, whatever. What'd you think about the the fight scenes, when the fight breaks out at the restaurant? I think that's like, is that the first major fight in this movie? I think so.
Yeah, that's whenever it first breaks out,
at least.
Yeah,
and the Chinese restaurant. All right. So, what did you think? Okay, so this is when we go with what ages well or not. When Rob is like, "Me speak no English." What did you think?
I'm like, yeah, this you would be canceled in 2024, Rob, for doing that.
Even though that's why I said
why
I said I know there's certain things that were not in the script that he was freestyling. That's why I was like, and they probably was like, that's gold. Hell yeah, that works.
Right.
So like when he did that, I was like, oh God, okay. I was like, nah. But I mean, so the fight choreography was okay though, right? Like you like the fight scenes, right?
The fight choreography still stands up to me as far as that goes. Only thing is, okay, and I posted this on my Facebook thing as I'm watching this, right? I'm like, okay, so we're supposed to have this princess that Johnny is supposed to be introduced to, right? Mm-hmm. And he's supposed to be marrying her.
Yeah.
Why is she in a Chinese restaurant? Is there... what?
then... exactly.
That was my first question, was like, why is she in a Chinese restaurant? And, you know, and then all of a sudden, like, whenever they were about to be... When Leslie Nielsen's character is supposed to be moving the father from another location... Why do the cooks know where he's being moved to?
Questions that need answers, dude. Yes. Stuff like that.
Right. But I'll tell you what I wanted from a prop. I wanted that Sega Genesis Game Gear, which I had, but I wanted the game for Surf Ninjas and everything, because that's the prop that I really want was that.
Yeah.
But I also wanted Johnny's power.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. Oh, so anyways, so his little brother with that power. Mm. That power is interesting. What do you think about that power?
Honest with you, they could have done something more with it, because he's supposed to be this person that sees a vision and see the future. It's on a Game Gear.
If you ain't got that Game Gear, then you ain't shit, basically. Like,
right, exactly. What happens when your battery power dies?
That's what I said. I'm like, come on. So Ernie, so he's got the powers of martial arts, right? Like, that's to me is super dope.
Yeah.
And like, dude, like they should have just given him, but that was a plug though. They were trying to plug in that game, you know, like they were trying to plug that in, advertising, that kind of thing. But it's like, dude, like, come on. Like, clearly, if this was a good power, you would just give him the power to predict the future without being confined to an item. But you know, that's the 90s, bro. Yeah, like you said, that's the 90s. Like, you gotta love it. Like,
exactly.
It's all good.
But dude, it's like, what's your superpower? I can throw a rock. What can you do? I play video games. I know all and I see all. But another thing, though, too, like with I know we talked about Rob for a minute, but the thing that I liked whenever he said, you know what? Go ahead, just keep on telling them that that they're princes and everything, because you already know that I'm already a prince. And he goes, yeah. I can blow up things with my mind, because I said, well, what if the what happens if the house explodes and explode it? That's what happened.
That was funny. Dude, that you know what's interesting about this? Like, so when we look at the flashback to, what is it called? Patusan? Is that what it's called?
Patusan, not Patusan.
yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the flashback there, don't they look old enough to remember what should have happened? You know what I mean?
I think
and
so.
Like, if you go back and look at it, Ernie Jr. is sitting on the throne. If you go back and look at that scene, like, just look at it. I'm like, wait a second, dude. Like, he's sitting on the throne right here. He looked like he should know, like, what's going on here.
Exactly.
And then, like, when everything happens, bro, just like the king and queen just sit there and do nothing. I'm like, what?
They're
what
like, oh, well.
Yeah, like, what? Like, but, come on.
Let's see. Nick also says he's not really confined to it. It's actually within him. Zatch says it later.
Oh, it's within him.
Okay. Mm. Well, I guess that was me being a lazy ass in school, be like, well, it's within me to fail my class because I want to play video games because I am one with the universe. But you know what, though? Okay, you bring up an interesting point with the whole fact that, you know, Johnny was actually on the throne and everything. So therefore, he should remember. So my other thing was this. So does he suffer from PTSD and he just blocked out childhood trauma?
Even though his movie ain't gonna tell you that.
No, but, you know, it's like, you're right, though. It doesn't explain anything. It's really bad. And you're not, get this, you don't get a backstory until like 14 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait. I actually paused. I'm like, wait, we get a backstory 14 minutes in. We see this one eye patch get dude basically take down these other ninjas at the school, and he's protecting these kids. But why?
And why is it happening, right?
Right.
Yes. That's how I felt too. Yeah, the timing of that was definitely off. I don't know why they didn't just open the movie with narration, like just narrating, like, you know, what it is and just go from there. There's a lot of movies back in the day that used to open up with narrating the story and then just boom, get into it. I mean, at least it would have made more sense, but, you know,
whatever. Exactly.
That did, as far as Tone Loc as a detective, were you buying that?
No. The only reason, get this, and you know what's funny? They're actually doing that surfing thing to a Tone Loc song.
So, they were.
Yeah. And I'm like, so you're just having him in there just because of the fact he's a rapper and they know that you can sell the soundtrack because of him.
Man, otherwise but I was they not, weren't going to play no Tone Loc if he wasn't in that movie.
Right. And I was not buying him as a cop. Because, all right, you guys need to go on ahead. And,
dude. He does not. He worked well with Blank Check. He did a good job in Blank Check. I love Blank Check. And, you know, that may be my nostalgia talking. I just like Blank Check, even though it's a problematic movie, I know, with him, you know, kissing a grown woman. But he does better in that movie, in my opinion. This, with just him being a detective, just doesn't work. Like, his line delivery, he's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I could use a vacation.
I ain't buying him as a detective, lieutenant, any of that thing. And then I think there's a funny scene where they're like, how'd you get out of those handcuffs? He's like, I swallowed the key. Well, how did you know you would need it? I swallow it every Tuesday. Negro, what? You swallow a key every Tuesday, bro? What is going on? Bro, John, you answer that for me. What is going on with that?
I don't know, but if he shits out two dimes and a nickel, he's lucky. That's all I gotta say. But I know, I even questioned that though to myself, though. I'm like, wait, this guy swallows a key every Tuesday. So every Tuesday you're counting on the fact that you're gonna get handcuffed. So therefore you need to swallow your key. Well, it's Tuesday. Well, shit. It's time for me to go on ahead and swallow my key because you never know what's gonna happen.
Somebody at the office handcuffing him, bro. That's what that means.
Right. He's just sleeping with way too many women over inside the police office. That's all it is.
Oh, man. Come on, it's not working. I don't know, dude. It's just because the storytelling, you know, it's just like whatever. Usually, I mean, it doesn't bother me, dude. I like cheesy 90s stuff. It's just, I guess it's just like, it's just, it was just kind of rough, dude. It was a little rough for me.
Because I remember also, too, making my mom wait at the video store for me to rent this movie again.
Shout out to your mom, man. She's real for that. She knew it was bad back then. She was just make you happy.
This is how I know that the movie was bad, right? Every single time when we would leave the theater, right? She goes, so you enjoy that? Yeah. She goes, yeah, mom, I really enjoyed that. Did you? Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm like.
Yeah. The face said everything. You ignored her facial expression, though, at the time. She's like, it doesn't matter. She's taking me to go see it. That reminds me of, I remember when my dad and my uncle told me straight up to my face, Mortal Kombat Annihilation is trash. It's trash, Kevin. It's bad. And I'm like, I was mad at them. I'm like, these grown-ass men over here hating on a classic movie, one of the greatest fighting video games of all time. Y'all just don't understand. Y'all old as hell. Don't tell me something's bad. It wasn't until I got older, I was like, damn, these old men were right. Damn it, dude.
And you know what, though? They're not wrong. That movie was bad. I prefer the original MK over part two as well.
I know. I feel bad for my dad. I used to turn on Annihilation all the time. He used to be like, damn, here come my son again with this. Here he go again with this.
Right? I could see. Look, let's watch Jaws. I think that would be a better pick than this.
Yeah. Nah, not doing that. This is more fun, Dad. No.
But yeah, I want to.
It's a lot.
There's also another thing that happens, though, too, with the princess. She's like, oh, John, you're going to marry me. And then all of a sudden it changes gears to where it's like, wait, I don't want. And you know what, Johnny? I changed my mind. I want to be my own woman now, because it's no longer the way it used to be back in those days where we have to marry each other. But we can date, though, right? I'm like, what?
But yeah, that's what. Hold on. That confused me. Like, why did she switch like that? Why did she switch on him? Why did she switch on him?
You went from husband to boyfriend like within a quarter of a couple of hours. Hey, you know, it'd be best friend zone.
Wait, hold on. I need buddy to leave us a comment. There's something deep going on there too. We might have missed on that one. There's probably some commentary going on of traditions and not having to follow these traditions.
And I get that. I like the fact that she's wanting to be her own woman, and she doesn't want to go with the customs of the old ways of the traditions.
Yeah.
Right? I'm fine with that. But she wasn't like that at the very start of it. It's like, you're going to be my husband.
Yeah.
It's faith. This is who we're going to be. I'm like, exactly. Okay. And then all of a sudden it goes, no, I changed my mind.
Just left field, dude. That threw me off. I felt bad for him. I'm like, dang. I mean, at least you get to still date her. But dang.
Right. And he got a kiss. So, I mean, that's always good.
Yeah. That's the good thing. That's always heroic.
Let's see. What did you think also too of them going over to Pakistan? Oh, and finally seeing the village and everything else. I don't know. These people look a little too happy. Like, I get the fact that the prince arrived and everything. Mm-hmm. And they're happy to see them, but they don't look like that. They were miserable before they even got there.
No, there seemed to be no struggle to me. I didn't see much struggle. No.
Come on, they got fresh fruit.
Yeah, that's. I don't know. You know what's funny? I don't know if you can find it. Look up the budget for this movie, but I was like, dude, the map getting there was funny to me because normally, like,
it's a $6.5 million budget.
So that $6 million is good. Like, I feel like they should have done something with pretending like they were getting on a jet or pretending like they were getting on a plane.
Well, they did. They got on a ship with Tone Loke. That's where most of the budget went.
Yeah, no, but dude, remember when they, so they have like this freaking toy, and it's a toy of a ship and it's dragging across the map. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, why didn't they, what? That was, no,
Yeah, that was. That was kind of overdrawn, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So it almost seemed like what they were trying to do was like, so when you look at the Indiana Jones movies, you know how they have the jet that's flying on the plane like that. They tried to do something like that, but it just like didn't work. They have like a toy ship and just, I'm like, wait, what? Like,
they could have used the Sega Genesis to actually do something like that.
Oh man. Another plug in, another plug. Right. I'm telling you, plug in the system. Yeah. They should have.
But
yeah, that to me, I thought was an odd choice, I guess, as far as travel. I mean, they do make it to the ship, but it was just kind of like, eh, whatever.
Exactly. But my question is this. Okay, so what do you think of the whole entire fight sequences with Leslie Nielsen and all that?
So the fight sequences, to me, that was the best, was between father and son. To me, that was my favorite, like when he was testing him. That fight scene was good. The other fight scenes were cool, though. Leslie Nielsen wasn't doing a damn thing.
No.
Leslie Nielsen wasn't doing anything.
Hold on. Nick is going deep again.
What did he say? I mean, again, she was doing what was expected of her and the traditions of her people, but over the course of the film, decided it wasn't right to force her to marry, but she was still into him. Okay.
But I have a question. How did she know that it wasn't right for her to marry him, be forced to marry him?
But it's not in the movie.
No. Wait. It was the brother. Adam saw it and told her in secret.
That's exactly. This is off screen exposition. Yeah, because But I know that's what I say though. Like, that's the cool thing. Like, you can always, you know, take this and kind of go deeper with it. But it's to me, it's not one of those movies to do that. I can find it. Yes,
you can. I have to give you credit, dude. That is some deep
thinking. Nick said he can find explanation for all of it. I feel them though. I mean, to me, it's just not that kind of movie to think hard about. Like, this is one of those movies you have to go based off what's happening on screen.
Nick said, "Well, she realized it wasn't right as a modern." Nick, look, I understand you're going deep. I really do appreciate that. But dude, she at a Chinese restaurant. She wore like the old clothes from Shogun.
Oh,
and you're not going to go after.
Uh oh. She started off traditional.
Right.
We don't have the story at first. Hey, you know, honestly, what would have been dope though? Honestly, now that we're talking about this, the transition of her character would have been nice.
Mm-hmm.
To how she formed this opinion or this thought on why she didn't want to marry him. To me, like, I feel like these kind of movies can use some
polish,
some seriousness to it, and something that works that'll kind of just be that's good. Like, right? That's something you won't ever forget.
I have a question. As a kid, did you remember this being so fast?
Oh, dude. No, this moved really fast. This, like, moved faster than I thought. I was like, oh, shit. Oh, slow down. Damn.
Right? I felt like I was watching a short film, and I'm like, wait, I'm already almost done with this? It was like only like...
I know. Yeah, no, man. No, this was moving a lot faster than I thought it did. But I mean, that's the way we were wired when we were younger, man. We're just
True.
Let's go. Next,
let's
next,
do
next.
It. Let's go. I'm pumped.
That's why I still got to rewatch Secret of the Ooze today. I mean, I bought the Blu-ray triple pack a while ago, so I'm gonna rewatch it, man, and just see kind of where I'm at with it now. I know I'm still gonna be good with it, but Ernie Reyes Jr. is the pizza boy. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I first seen him. And then I'm like, oh, wait. Yeah. This is actually how I remember seeing the trailer for Surf Ninjas. I'm like, wait, the Pizza Hut guy's in this? The Domino's guy?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm sold. I'm like.
Sold. Yep. 100%. Sold, dude.
Right.
But yeah, if you're talking about fight scenes, dude, the fight between, father, son, that's my favorite. Like, that's going to be my favorite. But the fight scenes are pretty cool, man. Like I said, Leslie Nielsen just didn't have nothing to do for me. Him as a villain just didn't work. I remember him as the villain, but I was just like, what? No.
Mm. He's like Shredder, but the best value brand of Shredder.
Like, the best value brand.
Or the Shredder that you have when your mom says that we have Shredder at home.
Oh, man. Dude, oh, that's a shame. You said this had a $6.5 million budget and only made $4.9. Womp womp. Damn, that sucks.
Well, you also have to look at the gross, though, too. The worldwide balance is actually, it made some pretty decent money from whenever I did the research on it. It made $4,916,135.
Oh, okay.
So it made, I'm surprised it didn't get like a direct-to-DVD or VHS at the time movie for it to be making that much money. You know what I mean?
I mean, is there a Blu-ray of this movie?
Yeah, believe it or not, there is. Like, that's how I watched it on YouTube. Somebody actually cut the Blu-ray copy onto YouTube.
Oh, nice.
So I watched it in the clarity of the Blu-ray.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what I'm talking about. So you had a good version. The one I went to on YouTube was blurry.
Well, get this. At first, one that I told you at that time was actually the blurry one I watched. I went back and searched for it today to rewatch it.
Yeah.
And they had the Blu-ray version.
Hmm. Dang. Yeah, I saw the VHS version, I guess.
Yeah.
That bad boy was
someone
blurry.
That tried to convert.
I was like, hold on, dude. I was like, this is blurry, man. I mean, you know, YouTube usually comes through. Like, you can get some, he said, just DVD, VHS.
Just DVD and laser. There's no Blu-ray.
No Blu-ray.
Well, that's what it said in the description anyways. But, you know, it could be deceiving.
You know, there are some, John, are you still collecting? Are you still buying physical media?
Bro.
Would you? There it is. There it is. All right. I didn't say you were getting it.
I picked
it.
That up today. Yeah.
All right. There we go. Nice. All right.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Of course I am. And I also pre-ordered the Crow Steel book.
There you go. There you go. It's because, yeah, when I looked for the Crow Steel book, it was sold out. But, yeah, I feel like a distributor like Arrow Video or somebody should, like, have a movie like this. Like these kind of, you know, off-kilter 90s kids movies.
Exactly. for the anniversary editions and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. But, man, what are, like, your favorite things about this movie? Like, obviously, it didn't hold up the same for you, but like, is your favorite things just like all the fight scenes in this movie?
The fight scenes for me, some of the comedy with Rob Schneider as well, because if I wanted like a good laugh from Rob, it would be the part where basically Tone Loc pulls up to the supposed uncle's house.
Oh, yeah.
What did I tell you, boys?
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm 27 years old. I was like, well, at least you told the truth. You're actually 27, but. And you're supposed to be Scottish or Irish, but yet you have like a Hitler mustache.
Explain that one. That one for us, man. Now, there's a scene with Rob Schneider. It was the Dynamite scene where he says, maybe you should get the patch when they're talking about the cigarettes. And he stares at the camera and he says, look who I'm talking to. Or he says something like, look who's talking to, something like that. And I'm like, come on, dude. Like, this is another, like, improvised line. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you wanted to talk about.
Where he stares at the camera. Yeah. It's like, maybe you should get the patch. He's like, maybe you should get the patch. Look who's talking. I'm like, come on.
Well, don't forget, how many of us did this as kids? Psych? I was like, how many times do I have to hear the word psych? This is like me annoying myself as an adult. Over and over.
Nah, you got a point there. I get, that's the same thing, I guess.
But,
maybe you should get the bench. Look who's talking. Psych.
No.
Yeah, that don't work today, man. I don't know. No. This stuff was falling flat for me, bro. Mm-mm.
Well, okay.
Wait, hold on, John. Do you have a letterbox?
Yeah, I do.
Would you give it on letterbox? Or what are you going to give it out of five? That's a real question.
Probably a 2.5 surfboards out of five.
There you go. 2.5 surfboards. All right, that's real. Nice.
What about for you?
That's good. I think it's a two, man. I think it's a two.
Yeah. Some things I like, some things I don't, some things that didn't age well.
Yeah, yeah. That's about where I'm at with it.
But
who went on to have careers after this?
I don't think anybody.
Besides Rob Schneider.
And Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, Leslie Nielsen was still doing his thing. Mm-hmm. Ernie Reyes Jr., what else was he in? You got to be in some other bangers. No?
I don't think he was doing much.
Man, I need an unsung on this guy, dude. There's a show on TV One called Unsung where they Red Sonja. Okay, that was before this.
Okay. Oh, he was in Indiana Jones and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Who was he in there?
The Cemetery Warrior.
Jeez. Oh.
Dude, okay. He was in The Rundown with The Rock.
I don't remember that.
Me either.
So The Last Dragon, I do remember him in that as the kid, which was cool. He was a cute little kid in that movie. That was cool. But yeah, Red Sonja, he is in Red Sonja. That's 85. So I feel like that, those were like his golden years to me, like mid-80s to early 90s. The Rundown, I have no idea who he is in that movie. I'd have to rewatch that.
Based off of what I'm seeing,
Nick said his career kind of tanked because of this movie. Gosh, dog, man. Why, man? Everybody got to have one cheesy kids movie, bro.
Okay. That was the dude. Okay. I think I know the dude now that he played. I'm not mistaken. But he played a guy named.
I don't remember the rundown at all. Dang.
I remember certain pieces of it, but I don't remember it as a whole. All I remember is Thunder Lightning.
I saw the rundown in 2003. That's the last time I saw that bad boy.
Really? I actually owned it on DVD.
You did?
Yeah.
I mean, do you like The Rock's movies?
I like most of his movies, to believe it or not. I like Faster. I like Snitch.
Fast Five is still going to be his best.
Yeah, Fast Five is hands down one of my favorites. Out of the Fast and Furious franchises, yes. It's that. That's my 100%. Go-to.
Yes.
See here. Nick says
Moonline Cinema had a multi-picture deal with him. When his movie failed, they canceled his deal. Oh, dang. That's terrible. That's messed up, man. I don't like that.
Yeah. The way I see it, that should have been blamed on the script writing or the storytelling, not blaming
it
on
has
the actor.
It has nothing to do with him. He was cool in the movie. Yeah, it didn't have anything to do with him.
He was playing the part the way he needed to play the part. I mean, there was nothing wrong with him in this film, other than the fact that, you know, it was just an over-the-top kid.
Hollywood, film. Dude. Come on, man. Come on. Right. They should have known it was a movie straight for kids. But see, that's what I'm talking about, though. You were talking about the overall gross sales.
Yeah.
That USA matter, bro. They didn't make the money in the USA like they should have.
No.
New Line Cinema and people like that, companies like that, they look at that and they're like, nah, screw that. Like, does it make the money, you know? Because I'm pretty sure they were selling this movie on his face, you know, him, Ernie Reyes Jr. This is him. We've built him up. We've worked with him since The Last Dragon. Here we are now. You're supposed to be bringing in the money by now, you know?
Exactly. So. And you're not doing anything. So it's kind of like sports in a way, right? Where basically, okay, look, Tony Romo, you're not producing the way you're supposed to. You're doing more turnovers than Papa John's pizza right now. Look, either you go on ahead, you shit or you get off the pot, or you go on ahead and do what you have to do. Yep. He just wasn't producing. So it's like, okay, look, we gave you chances. You're not producing the money like we thought. So therefore, you're going to have to find another agent. You're going to have to figure out what you have to do because you don't have a career in this.
Yeah. That's crazy. But, you know, he's a respected martial artist, though, man. The dude can fight, man. I just wish he had more.
Exactly. Me too. But, okay, I want to talk one thing here about the ending here.
Yeah.
And then we'll close out. But, okay, so everything's good. Leslie Nielsen dies. He gets poked in the face like a Three Stooges. He gets electrocuted. Yep. All is good. Then all of a sudden, he's getting married to the princess that didn't want to get married, didn't want to go through traditions.
Yeah.
And then you have the one guy.
I was waiting for you to because I know you like you go in order when you talk about these movies. I was waiting for you to get to that. So explain that one to me. How does that work?
Nick, I need your deep thinking here because I'm stripping away the nostalgia here.
So we went from tradition to modern woman back to tradition again. How did that? What's going on here, man?
He goes, come on. That's not a wedding.
That's not what? What is that?
That's a coronation.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But I like how after you say how Johnny of the King, coronation of the King.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Okay. But another thing that's funny is he saves the day. Johnny's like, well, peace, guys. I'm going back to the U.S. Good luck with everything in the future. I'm like, well, what happens if somebody else decides to kick this town's ass? And Surf Ninja's the return of Johnny. I don't know.
The return of Johnny. Yeah, man. This was interesting. I'm glad you put it on my they're crowning him king. Okay. Yeah. That's real. I don't know, man. It's cool, man. I'm glad Nick was on here to clarify some stuff and
me too. And he actually gave me some things to think about.
Hey, you may go 3 surfboards out of 5 now.
I'm still going to my 2.5. I can't go as high. I can't go. What about you, Nick? How many surfboards?
We need to figure out what Nick gives this.
Sitting in all this.
We got to figure out what he gives it.
Start being ultra invested in all of this. I played Adam after all.
No, that's cool, though, man.
Yeah.
No, it's always great whenever, you know, people who are really into the classics, man, the classic kid comedy movie, action movies can be on. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, my unfortunately, man, my nostalgia wasn't here, bro. I just was watching it and just like, yeah, I remember some of this. Yeah, this a little bit, this a little bit rougher than I but it's straight, oh, you know.
But yeah, I think it was a fun rewatch. I like putting this on.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
yeah, for sure.
This for me is a comfort movie. I'll put it on if I'm like doing notes for another movie or something like that, and yeah, making sure that I got everything that I needed done for my podcast and stuff.
Yeah.
But man, I will, but you know what though, man? I will own up to the fact that I did want to listen to the Beach Boys as a kid after listening to Ba Ba Baran.
Hey man, Beach Boys has some jams though.
It's underrated, to be honest with you. Like, I mean, I know I was talking about all the ninja movies and stuff like that. Everybody talks about Three Ninjas. Everybody talks about the sequel after Three Ninjas, right?
Yeah.
Nobody talks about Surf Ninjas or anything. It's like under other people's radars to the point where I think the brothers are just surfing over it.
Yeah, man. So I remember, so Surf Ninjas is interesting. It wasn't introduced to me, dude. Like, I found out about it when I got to middle school a little bit later because, like, I had other friends who was on this movie. And so they were like, you know, the way I was on Secret of Ooze, the way they were on that one and Secret of Ooze and other ones. So when I found this one, I was like, oh, shit, okay. So, yeah, that's how I got it. I was in sixth grade, man, first time I watched this movie. And my podcast co-host, Isaiah, he's a fan of Surf Ninjas, actually. He loves Surf Ninjas. He actually mentioned it a couple of months ago, dude. Really? We were just talking about random old kids' movies, and he was like, may y'all remember Surf Ninjas? Now, Trevor didn't I don't think Trevor had ever seen it before. But Isaiah was like, man, that was my shit. Because Isaiah's like me. He likes martial arts movies and stuff like that. So he was like, yeah, Surf Ninjas was my jam. I was like, yeah. But he like saw that at an early, early age. So he grew up on that bad boy. I saw it in sixth grade, man, and it was cool.
It was. So, yeah. Like I said, I've always reenacted Surf Ninjas, quoted some of the quotes that Rob did. And like I said, this was a movie of the ages for me as a kid growing up.
Yeah.
And just wanting to listen to Ba Ba Baran after the movie. And then, of course, after that scene, Friday the 13th, the final night, final Friday the 13th after this, and get my ass scared after. Because it was a double feature.
That man watched a PG movie and a rated R movie same day, man.
Living the dream. Living the dream.
That's balance. That's balance, baby. That's what life is about. Balance, you know?
Exactly.
That's how it goes.
Just as Adam was trying to find balance within his own game gear and everything, while he was also trying to help his brother. So it all works out in the end. But yeah, dude, we'll set something up. I'm looking forward to being able to chat with you. So is Kevin. But yeah, dude, set something up. We'll do it. We'll do the thing, but let's go on ahead. Let's go on ahead and close out and everything. I'm still geeked out. I'm sorry. I'm just speechless right now.
yeah, it's crazy.
It is. So Kev, do you have anything coming out as far as y'all's podcast goes or anything?
So we're going to be coming out with something next week, an episode on Denis Villeneuve, the director of Dune. So we'll be talking about that, talking about his filmography, and just kind of going from there, man. Oh man, appreciate it, Nick. You said this was a great watch, guys.
Oh, thank you, Nick. Thank you.
Yeah, it means a lot, man. Yeah, so that's what we'll be talking about. By the way, how did you feel about Dune? Did you enjoy that movie?
Dude, I love Dune. All I'm gonna say is cinema.
Yeah, straight up, man. That dude, Denis Villeneuve knows how to shoot a movie, dude. He does. That was impressive. That movie was impressive.
He definitely does.
I'm trying to think. So, like, I was going back. I got to watch some of his other movies. So, I'm going to be watching Polytechnic and maybe, like, one other I haven't seen, like, his very first film. So, I'm going to try to watch that and then just try to, you know, maybe do a ranking of his filmography, maybe.
And that's not a bad
idea. I ain't going to lie. I think I know what my number one is, though.
Which one?
I think I got to have a rival at number one, dude.
Oh, nice. Okay. I got you. I need to rewatch a couple of his films, though, too. But the way he shoots, the way he has his camera angles and everything is just perfect. I love his films.
Yeah. I rewatched Arrival last night. It's still. Yeah. Yeah. Still. Yeah. So I think I got to have that number one.
Okay. So I'm actually going to be working on trying to do my best of Johnny Depp movies. The way that I did the best of Leonardo DiCaprio was I did like an NFL drafts kind of style. Yeah. So basically what we did was we did like a bracket. So any movie that was like considered like a franchise or anything like that, we didn't go ahead and we didn't put that in there. So basically we just went on ahead and we went with the ones that we've seen and we ranked it that way. And we did our ranking over there like that. It's actually on the audio podcast and also on the video as well.
Man, that's a good way to do it. Yeah.
Thank you. So yeah, it's just something different instead of saying, well, what's your top 10, whatever. So I'm like, let's make a game out of it.
So
tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, I'm going to have Danny Elfman's brother. And him and his wife, Anastasia Elfman. Actually it's going to be Richard Elfman, not Danny. Danny's actually his brother, but Richard Elfman is going to be on the show and his wife, Anastasia Elfman. And they have a film called Bloody Bridget. Bloody Bridget has gotten some positive reviews around the film festivals and stuff like that. It's also been rated 5 out of 5 on bloodydisgusting.com and stuff like that. So I'm going to be interviewing them tomorrow at 8:30 Central Standard Time, 9:30 Eastern. So that's going to be a little bit of a newer time than normal, but still, I'm excited to be able to have the both of them over here. So, thanks, man. I do appreciate it. Yeah, we're staying busy. Rossi has her show. I'm actually doing a lot of her shorts, editing her shorts and stuff like that, too. She's got Rossi Talks, Rossi's Clubhouse and things like that. So I'm helping her out over there. She does a fantastic job on her podcast as well. As a matter of fact, she just got done shooting Across the Spider-Verse, reviewing that film. So she did that one today.
Oh, nice.
So I can't wait to actually dive into just listen to that episode.
Man, whenever we do get Nick on here, I want to talk to him about some stuff like Dick's the musical, which I thought was pretty dope.
Okay,
I see he had some involvement in that, I believe.
Thank you so much. Good talking to you, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. I would want to chop it up with him about that Dick's the musical, and then also he was in the Heat of the Night. He was in that series. I would want to see what episode he was in. So that's cool, man. That's dope, bro.
Yeah.
Check you out, John.
Dude,
bro, you normally just have celebs just pop up in the chat like that? Like
no, not like that. Nah, not like that.
You normally just have that. I mean.
Hey, you never know. I had Coleman Domingo on 2 years ago. So
really? He just popped in?
Yeah. No, not in the chat. I ended up reviewing his short film. This is actually before it became Academy Award nominated, Coleman Domingo. That's how I'm wording him now. Academy Award nominated Coleman Domingo.
Yeah, there you go. That's what he is. So he you ended up talking to him, like interviewing him?
Yeah. Yeah, it's on the podcast. It's on audio podcast and stuff like that, too. So you guys can go and check that there out there, too. Nice. It was just great.
Yeah, I need to check that out. Send that to me.
I sure will.
I'd like to check that out. He's climbing up to be one of my favorite actors right now, man. Working.
Dude, he's good. Fire.
Super skilled. He has an A24 movie coming out called Sing Sing that's coming out, and that's going to be good. The dude's talented, man. Yeah, let me know. I'm gonna need to get some tips from you, man. Like how to get interviews with people, man, or how to interview somebody, or how to get there. You know.
Shit. Okay, no problem. Before. I'll be glad to help you out any way I can. I can't guarantee
y'all anything, hear me over here. Y'all hear me over here. Y'all hear me on the show. Y'all hear me, huh?
It's like I want some of this like, love too.
Real podcast asking for a hand right now. Thirsty asshole. Yeah,
but anyways, that's cool. Thank you so much, Kevin, for joining me for this. This is a pleasure. Look, I just want to give a shout out one more time to Nick. Thank you so much for commenting and just giving your insight into the movie, even though we thought that you were just geeking out with us, even though you were the geeking out with us, and we were trying to strip away your nostalgia, even though you were in the movie. But
jeez, dude, jeez. Low-key embarrassed on my end, but that's all right. That was fun.
Yes, it was. All right, guys. Well, always until next time. Have a great and safe night, and we'll catch you guys on the next one.